This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A new trading week on Wall Street gets off to a horrible start as coronavirus concerns only seem to get worse. Trading was halted on Wall Street immediately after opening this morning. The S&P 500 fell 7% within the first few minutes. It triggered an automatic 15-minute break in trading. Chief market strategist at National Securities, Art Hogan, explains the process.
The concept behind that is let's put the brakes on, let people think about what they're actually doing and are they reacting appropriately to the magnitude of negative news that we have.
The Dow has been down over 2,000 points in early trading. Besides coronavirus concerns, an oil production war between Russia and Saudi Arabia has sent oil prices plunging, only making things worse on Wall Street. A cruise ship that's been quarantined off the California coast due to the coronavirus will be coming to shore today. This is USA Radio News.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss. Election, trade war. What in the world is the world coming to, and how will it affect your retirement? Fisher Investments has helped thousands of investors navigate all kinds of news and market conditions. Is your portfolio prepared? If you have $500,000 or more, call for Fisher's insightful free guide, The Stock Market Outlook, and learn how the market might impact your retirement this year. Call 1-800-379-4442. 1-800-379-4442.
Friends and family, did you have a great night's sleep last night? I did. I'm healthier than I've ever been. I work better than I ever have. And you know what? You can have that health. You can have that good night's sleep if you order a MyPillow. Try it. Mike Lindell guarantees it. He's got a 60-day money-back guarantee on the MyPillow and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special. Use my promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175.
More now on the coronavirus as two Republican lawmakers are self-quarantining after they believe they came into contact with someone who had tested positive for it. Both Senator Ted Cruz of Texas and Congressman Paul Gosar of Arizona say the interaction happened at the recent Conservative Political Action Committee conference in Maryland. Neither Cruz nor Gosar have developed any symptoms, but they say they're self-quarantining out of an abundance of caution. Five states are holding Democratic primaries tomorrow, and one state, North Dakota, is holding a Democratic caucus. That is New Jersey Senator and former presidential hopeful Cory Booker says he's endorsing Joe Biden for several reasons.
It's a time for us to beat Donald Trump, and it became very clear to me that Joe Biden is the right person to do that.
He made the announcement on CBS's This Morning. He and Kamala Harris are expected to campaign with Biden in Michigan later today. This is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee at Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
As we told you at the top of the news, Wall Street is plunging again today on coronavirus concerns, as well as concerns about a oil production war between Russia and Saudi Arabia. Now we learn that gold is at a 7-year high. People looking for safe places in a volatile market. It hit $1,700 an ounce a short time ago, the highest it's been since December of 2012. Montana Governor Steve Bullock is running for the U.S. Senate. Democrats had wanted Bullock to run for the seat against Republican Senator Steve Daines, but he had previously refused to do so. In a tweet, though, Bullock now says, "Let's make Washington work more like Montana does." One-time movie mogul and now convicted rapist Harvey Weinstein is reportedly miserable behind bars on Rikers Island in New York City after taking a fall over the weekend. A spokesman says Weinstein is in one of the jail's infirmaries now, sharing a cell with two older men. He's having a hard time walking around the jail without his walker. The first recreational marijuana shop in the city of Boston is now open to the public. Pure Oasis has received all of the needed approvals to open the pot shop effective today. Remember, you can check us out online anytime. We have a newly redesigned website, and you'll find it at usaradio.com. That's usaradio.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
Hey, good to have you with us. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. And don't forget, hey, look at... If you want that that copy of the 2016-2020 party platform comparison, drop me an email at bill@billmartinezlive.com. Tell me that's what you want, and I'll get it off to you electronically. It is awesome. It will give you the clear, you know, the binary choice between, according to each platform of each party, the Republican and Democrat, on these major issues that you're interested in, whether it's sanctity of human life, marriage, LGBT agenda, abortion, I mean, on and on these keys, Supreme Court, it is all right there. It will help you understand what each party stands for, because a lot, oftentimes we end up scratching our heads going, wait, how can people vote a certain way when you know their culture or their specific pronouncements about what they believe in are in conflict? And in many cases, as we discussed earlier, it's because we're being duped. We're not given the whole story. But we need to do, as Adam Holt said earlier, you know, we've got to do a little bit of work here. You just can't take this for granted. You know, in this rapid-paced world in which we live in, where the tyranny of the urgent and phone calls and, you know, Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff seems to command our attention, we need to go beyond the eight-second sound bites and be responsible citizens and know what is going on here. And so that at least, whatever you choose, however you choose to vote, at least do so based on knowledge, based on the facts. As one of our guests had said a couple of weeks ago, facts still matter, very important. And I appreciated her reminder of that, because you often hear me say, in the absence of fact, opinion rules. So we got lots of opinion, but we need to really make sure that we're nailed down on the facts here so that you know that you know. Because what happens if it's only opinion? All it does is it takes somebody that is a little bit more persuadable than you to topple you. And meanwhile, you know, what are you being toppled over? Are you being toppled over that something that really you need to be knocked over for because, your foundation is weak and you really, you maybe don't believe and you don't have enough factual evidence. You just go just based on emotion. I mean, is that the reason? Or is it, that they're really being helpful, that they are convincing, but they have the facts behind them? Otherwise, you know, we're going to be duped. And, you know, it's kind of like what we went through in 07 during that campaign when we were told that the aspiring candidate was going to fundamentally change America. I mean, change it to what? What were we doing? You know, what was so bad? But see, this is what people do in the art of persuasion, is they first create dissatisfaction with the status quo. And this is what's been going on for a long time. The Democrats have been very effective in doing that. And it's interesting that the very thing that they use to create dissatisfaction is the very thing they created with their own policies. But, you know, the mainstream media and others, you know, they, for some reason, they just go along with the game because it's, you know, it's all a means to an end. And the end game is it's about control. It's about them being in office. And this is what's so upsetting to them. They just cannot believe, even after 3 years and all the successes that Donald Trump has been doing on behalf of all Americans, instead of celebrating it on behalf of all Americans, oh, no, we want our power back. We got to have our power back. So everybody's lying. Especially the orange man, that's all he does is lie. He's mentally deficient, I mean, on and on, all the accusations. And the problem is, when you rattle off unfounded accusations like that, you begin to lose credibility. And so, you know, what do we have? There's no middle ground, so we just have us against them. And this is not America. America, at some point, has to come united. And what is it going to take? Is it going to take another 9/11, another attack that draws us together to realize what's most important? What's most important is the American dream. And it's not the Republican dream. It's not the Democratic dream. It's the American dream. It's about, you know, Main Street America. It's moms, dads, it's families. The very essence of what this American dream is here to serve, the very essence of what, you know, so many have paid the ultimate price, that are no more. Their legacy lives, and we remember them and our families, and that gave up their lives for the sake of liberty. And as I've been saying time and again, you know, what's on the ballot really is, it's not Joe Biden, it's not Donald Trump. You've got to see what's on the ballot is freedom, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, the fact that we could even talk about and have a candidate who says he's a democratic socialist, and you got to think about that. Okay, what does that mean? According to Trevor Loudon, it's, you know, forget about Democrat. I mean, yeah, he just identifies with that. I mean, he's independent, but a democratic socialist. I mean, the fact is he's a socialist. And we know all socialistic roads lead to communism. It is about the collective. It's no longer about the individual. It's collective rights, okay? And that's why they're preaching things the way they have been, the way they framed it. They've created dissatisfaction with the status quo and says, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have to worry about the debt that you paid or the debt that you signed up for in order to get a college education? We'll just evaporate that. Wouldn't it be nice that you wouldn't have to worry about paying your health bills anymore? We'll just have to eradicate that. We just wipe it right off. We'll just etch a sketch it off. And there's no personal responsibility. So what will happen? You know, we're going to be deluded like the other European countries that have seen what has happened, you know, with healthcare. I mean, it starts to get doled out. That's just the way it is. It's going to be parceled out. And we've had enough evidence and experience of what's happened overseas. And much of America resists that. I mean, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, particularly Elizabeth Warren, said, look, we're going to get rid of your health care. So for 150 million people, your health care is gone. I mean, it already got compromised under the Affordable Care Act, as you recall, right? I mean, for those of us who had health care and all of a sudden the businesses had to make decisions, you know, to pay this exorbitant tax and cost that wasn't going to cost anything, but of course, it costs somebody something, and when it all comes down to it, it flows down. It flows down to the everyday man and woman. And, oh, we're going to get those rich people. Well, okay, go after the rich people, and then it'll flow down, and then we're paying for it. So who did they get? It's kind of like the whole origination of the tax process system, right? They first came in, created dissatisfaction, said, oh, we're going to get those rich people. That 1%, we're going to go after them. We're going to tax the heck out of them. Well, the knucklehead 99 said, yeah, let's go get them. Let's go get them. And then the very next year, the tables were turned because the rich people had enough money that they could fight and get attorneys to debate the issue and protect themselves And so, as the 1% always does, they find a way to, get that get out of jail card and work around it. And so then who ended up paying the freight? The 99! And so here we are. As the saga continues, ladies and gentlemen, but we've got to get control of this runaway government, and that requires an activated citizenry. We've got more coming up. Stay with us 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you helped?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
I took my family on a vacation like the one you're about to hear about, and we had an amazing time. And the best part about it was the price.
If you're looking for an amazing, fun-filled vacation for you and your family for an unbelievable price, keep listening for details on how you can get a fabulous four-day vacation for just $99. Westgate Resorts has been a leader in affordable vacation plans since 1982, and now you can choose from over 10 beautiful resort destinations across the United States, like Orlando, Florida, or the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. So whether you love world-famous theme parks or the tranquility of nature, Westgate Resorts has your next dream vacation. Plus, if you're one of the first 100 to call, we'll tell you about our $29 Las Vegas special. Call right now to book your amazing vacation for only $99.
800-883-1612. 800-883-1612. Call 800-883-1612.
This advertisement is being used for the purpose of soliciting sales of a timeshare plan. Restrictions apply. Go to westgateterms.com for complete offer terms.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
We don't see color here. We just love America. Bill Martinez, live.
That brought Biden right back.
You know, Helene, though, the Democrats are trying to do something they've never done before, which is win with a seasoned nominee.
Frankly, if either
Sanders or Biden gets it. It's somebody that has run before. That has not previously been the recipe for Democrats.
Forget 1984.
It really seems as if, though, provided we don't have a major Biden gaffe in the next couple of weeks, it feels as if all the stacks are in his favor now. Because keep in mind, last Tuesday, we had only seen so many people had absentee voted or voted already or early voted between South Carolina and Tuesday that I think we saw just the tip of the Biden wave. And I think what you're going to see this coming in a couple of days and beyond that is just a wholesale shift. And that would make me not want to be Bernie Sanders.
Well, so what do you think? I mean, we got Super Tuesday tomorrow, Michigan, the eye on the prize, the big focus for Bernie Sanders. That seems to be the one, you know, potential death nail that if Michigan doesn't happen for Bernie Sanders, then it's not likely that he's going to be able to work the numbers to be able to go in with enough delegates to claim the prize. But meanwhile, as the media is all excited and other, you know, other of us, I guess the political junkies, you know, we're going, oh, gosh, wouldn't this be exciting? A contested convention. You know, more history in America. It's been 70 years since we've had a contested convention. Maybe this will be the year. And all signs are such, with the chaos that's going on in the Democratic Party, as Dr. Wilford Riley pointed out, that could be likely that we're headed for a contested convention. Of course, you know, that has been discussed for many, many months. And initially when it came up, oh, not likely. And, oh, people are being ridiculous and overestimating here. But you could see the signs. I mean, you could see that the party was starting to become disengaged within itself, that there was a bit of a civil war that's taking place. And that's where they are right now, where you've got the hard left, Bernie Sanders, AOC, that group pulling the party more and more to the left, and I believe at grave expense, you know, to the party. And with you know, Bloomberg now redirecting his funds into supporting Biden, he's really sent a huge lifeline to hold him up. But as was just stated, it's up to Joe Biden to kind of manage this and not screw things up. But, you know, Joe Biden is Joe Biden, and he is one incredible gaffe machine and keeps on going. And but at least now he knows when Tuesday happens that it does follow Monday. And so he's got that down. So we'll see the rest of it and stay tuned, because he can't help but be himself. Well, this past Friday, 273,000 new jobs were created in February. It smashed the predictions of 175,000 new jobs, according to Gary Bauer. And even more good news, the jobs figures from December and January were revised upwards by 85,000 more jobs. See, this is the thing that's incredible. Have you noticed? Under Donald Trump, every time there's a revision on jobs, it's up. Under Barack Obama, it was down. Every job revision. I think maybe, except for maybe one exception. I think there might have been one exception where it went up. But all the others, they're always, oh, we've got a revision. And, you know, here it is, going down. But with Donald Trump, it's gone up each time. This is amazing. So you would have thought, with all that great news, that the stock market would have gone bonkers. But no, I mean, it was a crazy week. I think overall we came ahead, but the bottom line, it was, it went down, and, it was down like 780 points, so just under 800 points. Of course, all being buttressed and encouraged by the coronavirus. But, you know, I know why, but I'm not sure, I see the validity of the mainstream media, you know, continuing to chastise the Trump administration. I mean, they've moved rather expeditiously to combat the coronavirus, the way they've protected our country at the risk of, the political cost that it would take. And, of course, it didn't take long, because any time, you know, President Trump says red, then there's a blue. You know, they're just so antagonistic and disgruntled that no matter what the president says, you know, they have to be the opposite. And so the president shuts down, you know, the obvious, like, look at, hey, let's not have any people from, you know, the hot spot of China, you know, coming into the United States. Smart academic move, right? But even the Democrats and some of these pundits wanted to argue against it, like, oh, man, he's a xenophobe. Come on, stop it. You know, this isn't a forever deal. It was just like we needed to do something to get our handle on this thing because we're still trying to do everything we can. The other thing that he did is he's assembled a great team of doctors, you know, led by the vice president, who you got to love Mike Pence. Mike Pence has this sense of calmness about him and an administrative duty. And how he's handling this. I mean, when he's in front of the camera, he projects calmness, and which is so important. And he's careful not to get into hyperbole or, you know, get over the skis, you know. And this is a dynamic process. And you know, sometimes you just wonder, you go, what do people want here? I mean, they don't even want perfection. They want super perfection. And like one of the reporters kept asking the same question over and over again, like as if, you know, something was going to change, you know, in terms of, you know, how many test kits are out there? When are they going to be out there? Well, that was pretty well explained. I mean, unless you're just looking for a different kind of soundbite in hopes that it might be a gotcha kind of thing. But it's like, hey, did you not listen to the answer to your question that you was previously given? I guess not. And again, this is all to be antithetical and not to be part of the solution. But let's just agitate and add to the problem and more concern that people should have about the coronavirus. Now, we're learning that there are some practical things that we need to do in terms of social distancing, the washing of hands. I like what our priest had to share with us. He says, when you actually go to wash your hands, pray the Our Father, pray the Lord's Prayer. So you're praying the Lord's Prayer and you're washing your hands. And as you get through it, that way you know, it's not a real quick, you know, splash of water. I mean, I'm still surprised, I got to tell you. I mean, in being in a couple of public restrooms, you know, that you have to use, I still am surprised how people just leave the bathroom without even washing their hands at all. I mean, it's disgusting, right? But even more so with the virus being out there, that we need to all be, you know, socially responsible. It's not about us. It's about the other humanoids that we're going through this journey with that we're protecting. Okay, we're protecting them as well. Hopefully they have the same idea that they're protecting themselves, their family, and us. But, you know, walking out of the bathroom, not even washing your hands, I mean, it's beyond disgusting, especially at a time like this. So we have to be socially responsible. So we have to up the game. The report also coming out of China is that the coronavirus the spread is slowing down by all indications. Some key economic activity is returning to normal, thank God. But as I mentioned earlier, I feel for these people, these employees across the country who find themselves out of a job because the company said, time out. We got to stop. We're going to send you home. Well, you know, some companies, to their credit, are still paying their employees. God bless them. And I just pray that God richly enhances their company and, you know, gives them dividends that they deserve for protecting their employees. There's some companies that have chosen not to do that, maybe thinking, well, the government will take care of it. Sadly, the government right now is slow on the uptake. They're quick to take care of their own needs. You know, like I said, California was quick to declare a national or a state of emergency so that they could access funds. But what about the employees? You know, what they're going to stand in line and wait for 6-8 weeks in order to get the funds that they've invested as part of their paychecks. They got to wait. Well, you know, right now the problem is now for them, they're out of a job. They're not making money. Now, they still need to pay their bills. They need to put food on the table. So our government needs to respond to that. President Trump needs to do something of an executive order to make that happen right away so that people are able to access these funds for unemployment. I'm Bill Martinez. We've got more coming up.
This is sponsored by the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation. Millions of people throughout the country are affected by rare diseases, yet many are unaware of the symptoms, risk factors, and treatment options. Pulmonary fibrosis is one of these diseases. Affecting more than 200,000 Americans, pulmonary fibrosis is a progressive, debilitating lung disease for which there is no known cure. Dr. Gregory Cosgrove, Chief Medical Officer, Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation.
With more than 50,000 new cases diagnosed annually, it's important to be aware of the symptoms of pulmonary fibrosis, which include a persistent dry cough, fatigue, and shortness of breath. These symptoms are similar to many common illnesses, so pulmonary fibrosis is often misdiagnosed. Speak with your doctor if you have any of these symptoms.
While anyone can be affected by pulmonary fibrosis, smokers and former smokers age 60 or older are the most at risk. Visit aboutpf.org to learn more. Again, that's aboutpf.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A new trading week on Wall Street gets off to a horrible start as coronavirus concerns only seem to get worse. Trading was halted on Wall Street immediately after opening this morning. The S&P 500 fell 7% within the first few minutes. It triggered an automatic 15-minute break in trading. Chief market strategist at National Securities, Art Hogan, explains the process.
The concept behind that is let's put the brakes on, let people think about what they're actually doing and are they reacting appropriately to the magnitude of negative news that we have.
The Dow has been down over 2,000 points in early trading. Besides coronavirus concerns, an oil production war between Russia and Saudi Arabia has sent oil prices plunging, only making things worse on Wall Street. A cruise ship that's been quarantined off the California coast due to the coronavirus will be coming to shore today. This is USA Radio News.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Martinez, we have a country to save.
Well, that is a fact, Jack. And I'm telling you, America needs to increase their situational awareness, as Pastor Jeffers said, to realize that the fight is on, that we've got to fight here domestically. And yes, we look all around us and even existential threats continue, whether it's North Korea, you know, firing off missiles again in the sea. I mean, they just cannot help themselves. Well, here to talk about Afghanistan, what's going on, the latest in South Africa and Syria as well, is William Ogborn. He's a strategic communications and public diplomacy expert with a highly successful track record. He's both the director and strategist for U.S. government entities like the U.S. House of Representatives, the U.S. Departments of Defense, State, and Commerce, and USAID, as well as NATO and other private companies. His deployments include Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Libya. So he's been there and bought the T-shirt, as we say. William, good to have you back with us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, lots to catch up on. Let's first talk about Afghanistan. Why not? I mean, this thing is, you know, we're trying to work this out. The president, you know, says, look, at 20 years is enough in dealing with this endless war with Afghanistan. And, you know, what have we learned from all this, William?
Well, you know, sometimes I'm not sure what D.C., especially the D.C. establishment, has learned. Mm-hmm. You know, we thought we'd learned our lessons from the Vietnam War, and we try to take those lessons when we first went into Iraq to not get caught into a quagmire. And it's like we tossed all those lessons out and are just keeping making those same mistakes over and over again. And the first mistake that we keep making is, what is our in-state goal? Mm-hmm. And I have asked this question for more than a decade in this town, and I can tell you no one has an answer for that. What do we want out of Afghanistan? Nobody's going to say. Because mm-hmm. they don't know, and that's why we keep getting stuck. And even with this peace accord, they violated immediately, the Taliban did. Mm-hmm. But what do we want to see out of Afghanistan? They don't know.
Well, I think that, especially with Vietnam, and I was in the Marine Corps at the time, and certainly not at any higher level. I was working for the Public Affairs Office in Camp Pendleton. But from what I could see was that, just from the very basics, is that conducting war by committee doesn't work, in my humble
Absolutely.
Perspective. And that seems to be the case. I mean, you got to be able to say, look, if we're going to war, we got to let the generals who just, they only know how to break stuff and kill people. You let them out of the cage until, you know, diplomacy can be rendered again, and you come back to the table where they say enough is enough. And, you know, I think we learned that in World War II, as harsh as it was, is that, you know, as James Dobson used to say, he says, if little Johnny stands before you with his hands on his hips wanting to get spanked, he feels that he shouldn't get disappointed. And I feel the same way about these aggressors overseas that stand there in front of you with their hands on their hips saying they want you dead, and they continue to do damage to their own people and wreak havoc to the world. Then I think we should take them for their word and let the generals out of the cage and say, go get them.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the problems is I think we keep trying to think of every war as we wanting to see World War II happen again. In terms of that end state, where suddenly all of Europe is going to kind of go along with our Marshall Plan, or Japan is going to go along with whatever MacArthur says to reform their government. And that's not the case. We're not fighting those types of wars. Mm-hmm. You couldn't go into Vietnam and suddenly make Vietnam Western Europe. And actually,
right.
yes, getting out of Vietnam wound up being the best thing for Vietnam. Now you go over there, and even North Vietnamese former soldiers say, we love America.
Right.
And it took us not understanding what the mentality was of the Vietnamese, getting out of the way, letting actual capitalism and democracy flourish in that country, taking a while.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a successful country.
Exactly.
We're not going to see the same thing with Afghanistan.
Right.
But we need to recognize that the only thing we need out of there is the base to box in Iran. That's all they really want.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just had that and left everything to it, I don't think anybody would care what's going on in that country.
Well, and I appreciate Trump's strategy in as much as saying, look, at why should America be footing the bill all the time? What about the neighbors there? What about Pakistan and the other immediate neighbors around Afghanistan? Don't they have a vested interest in Afghanistan being a peaceful nation?
Well, that's part of been our problem, is that Pakistan has been meddling since the very beginning. And, of course, we went in there and we told Pakistan, hey, you're going to do this and this is what's up.
Mm-hmm.
But just follow our lead. And Pakistan didn't like that. So they've been trying to work against us the whole time. And you've, of course, seen Obama even said something about Pakistan, you know, being the real problem back when he was first getting elected. And Trump has also said the same kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a recognition that Pakistan is an issue, but nobody wants to really address that. And, you know, we're also having to deal with Pakistan being belligerent towards India, and we're wanting to get closer to India.
Exactly, right.
And then there's also all the water rights issues that go in. So it's all these little different things that are going on that most people aren't aware of. It's not simply a battle over territory. It's a battle over resources, a battle over national pride. It's a battle over water.
Mm-hmm.
So once you start to think about that, you realize, oh, this isn't going to go away just tomorrow because we can kill as many people as we want.
Exactly.
We're not fighting about killing. Mm-hmm.
Well, but at least I appreciate what this administration is doing in terms of offering, you know, some sort of carrot to them and just, you know, casting a vision of saying, hey, wouldn't it be nice? Imagine if you are, you know, providing for yourself and your families and, you know, the peace that you say you want. You know, America will come alongside and promote that part. You know, I think it's a fresh narrative as opposed to, as I say, you know, the harsh side of me, only because I've seen enough of this to say, look, if it gets down to the point where it's untenable, and they want to, you know, they want to create war and terrorism, then, look at you, you're bringing this upon yourself, and there needs to be consequences that need to be met immediately you know, with some definiteness to it, as opposed to, you know, the patty cake kind of process, I think, at times that we have taken. And all we've done is just, you know, kind of allowed this, you know, like with Afghanistan, to be mired in, you know, 20 years. And you asked the question right at the beginning, which many of us have asked as well, William, is what's the end game? You know, I mean, in the parlance of Congress in D.C., they always talk about an exit strategy. You know, it's like, wait a minute, you know, what's the end game before the exit strategy, right?
Right. And when you don't define those terms at the beginning, it creates all kinds of problems. We see that not only in foreign policy in Afghanistan, and this is something that's been going on, you know, for 20, 30 years of kind of an existential crisis in American foreign policy, not knowing what to do after the Cold War. And it filters into other places that I wound up working, and sometimes you don't see the pattern first, and then once the pattern becomes clear, you're like, this is the same kind of mired, stuck thinking of, you know, they put these things in that look good, the intentions are right, you understand where the folks are coming from, but they're never thinking, okay, what happens if we don't reach this, you know, miracle end state? What then? Do we rejigger, or do we just keep going the path because that's where the momentum is built and we don't have enough power to stop the inertia? And we see that in Afghanistan. We saw a lot of that also in Iraq and with Syria and with Libya. And, you know, you mentioned working in South Africa area. I'm working in Zimbabwe these days, and I didn't think it was a similar thing, but we see the similar thing there of a of a constant process of, we've been doing this for 20 years, we're supposed to just continue doing it for 20 years.
Right.
And a lot of people are like, just give us one little thing so we can get out. Like,
yes.
why don't we start to change the paradigm? Because if it's not worked for 20 years, it's not going to work in another 10.
Yeah. It's insane. It's the exact manifestation of insanity. What are we waiting for? And maybe this administration is the administration to be decisive and make these decisions and finally call the question. The other challenge I think that occurs, and you would know better, but I think it was on full display during this recent crisis about the Ukraine, and that is, you've got these little fiefdoms running around where you've got state officials that should be coming alongside. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't have your opinion, but you're not, when it comes to the end of the day, you're not the one who sets policy. You execute policy, and that policy is set on high. You don't have the pay grade to do that, but that seems to be a little bit of the dynamic, at least from my observation. What do you say?
Yeah, we've seen way too often in the past 4 years of folks who are career kind of implementing their own policies and pushing against policies, when your job, when you are a public servant, is to serve the policy that's put down ahead of you, and that's by the president. You might not agree with it, but that's not your job.
Exactly. We've got more from William Ogburn after this. Stay with us. Now that the Fed has cut interest rates by 0.25%, chances are you're paying too much for your mortgage or those high-interest credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates we've seen in 10 years. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and
and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez live.
He's a strategic communications and public diplomacy expert. I almost sound like Joe Biden there, forgive me, with a highly successful track record. Well, at least I know the difference between Tuesday and Thursday, and it is Super Tuesday, by the way. Super Thursday, I think he might be waiting for a while because that one just doesn't happen. But surely I digress here for just a moment. William Ogburn continues with us. William, you know, we were talking about the dysfunction of state operations and what we saw on display during the latest Ukrainian episode, and there's still more to be drawn out of that. I believe the unfortunate thing is we've got, you know, we went through all this exercise. We maligned all these people, including particularly, you know, the President of the United States, who sets policy for the State Department. And you've got these argumentative individuals that were given place to where all of a sudden they could come in and complain about their boss. And the Democrats were happy to give them place and credibility to the point that, hey, we'll even go so far as to fire your boss. We'll humiliate him and 63 million voters that believed in him, and we'll have him impeached. How's that?
Yeah, you know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for my colleagues at State. I worked with them. Great people, and so many of them always trying to do their job and just looking for, they want the policy objective and they're going to follow the policy objective. Mm-hmm. But you also have some folks, and this isn't true in any organization, they're trying to do their own thing. And I've certainly seen, when I've been working with State, a lot of times where I've thought administrations have been holding too tight a grip on them. They wouldn't let them do the job that they were trained for. They didn't trust them. Right. So they were, half the time was spent care and feeding in Washington. But at the same time, you can't just let them loose and you can't
allow somebody who's there serving at the pleasure of the president to start making their own policies and enacting policies that are against what the administration wants. If they have a question on that, they have to go back. If they don't get an answer, it doesn't mean you just get to enact it.
Mm-hmm.
It means you hold and wait and try and get that answer.
Right.
And we've seen too often recently with this administration where people were just taking it on their own because, let's be honest, they didn't like who won the election.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot do that as a public servant.
Right. They didn't like who won the election, and they got backing because you've got the Democratic Party complaining about it, speaking in derogatory terms toward the chief executive officer of our country. They maligned him in such a way as if he's so incompetent and whatever. And so I can appreciate how some people in the state, you know, maybe even some fair-minded people that would lose confidence and think, okay, wow, if we're hearing this in the mainstream media all the time about this president being so incompetent, maybe I should step up a little bit. Maybe I should take more of a proactive stance. But the embarrassing thing, and again, I think the lost takeaway here for all of us is to be able to evaluate, you know, this crash that occurred upon our government and, you know, pull this in, and also for responsible leaders on both sides to understand and appreciate that their words matter and what they put out into the body. I say body politic, but it's the body services. It's the people that make up the state and everybody that's involved in the bureaucracy. What is being deposited into their bloodstream in terms of the stinking thinking that Zig Ziglar would refer to?
Well, you know, some of the folks have always looked for that battle that they can fight. And let's also be honest, as human beings, we have a lot of bias. And when somebody comes in, even if it were somebody like a Jeb Bush, but if Jeb were to come in and suddenly say, hey, I'm really questioning everything that we've been doing for the past 20-plus years. Maybe we're doing it wrong.
Mm.
You're going to have people that are so wedded to their confirmation bias and conviction bias that they're not going to want to move off of that.
Right.
Now, the thing is that probably no one else in the race was going to be challenging them like that. I mean, Rubio is more of a New World Order guy. He was going to go along with the same kind of globalist thought. Jeb is Jeb. He was going to go along with that same. And, of course, Hillary was going to be in that same sphere of globalist thinking as well. The only one that's really challenging those kind of globalist attitudes and thoughts was Trump. And
exactly.
I would even argue Sanders has some of that, but, you know, I'm not even going to go down that hole. and so you have somebody coming in and saying, you know, we had that, what, Washington Post article that talked about Tillerson and the meetings with the heads of the Pentagon, where he called them dopes and losers.
Right.
And a lot of people were offended because they're like, how can you call generals that? And it's like, sometimes generals need to be called that. Sometimes presidents need to be called that. And the reason, and I always look back at the Romans, who, when a general had a triumph in Rome, in the procession, showing all of his victories and what he's accomplished, there was always somebody sitting next to him that said, you are mortal.
Yes.
And that was to be a check on their thinking and not let to get them too big ahead. And I think sometimes we allow these bureaucrats and we allow these appointees to have too big ahead, and somebody, and this time it was the president, was challenging them and saying, we're not thinking about this right. Let's try thinking about it differently. And they're like, well, you're an idiot. Why would you ever question anything we're doing?
Exactly.
Everything's so wonderful. If everything was so wonderful, you wouldn't see so many populist revolts around the world.
Exactly. And the other thing, too, William, in terms of, you know, the challenge of a presidential cycle, you know, it's less than 4 years, and you've got to make some things happen. Well, you don't have time to sit there and have drinks with everybody and spend time and lay out the plan. You would hope that your cabinet, your associated leaders are pushing down into the people and, you know, breaking it down in such a way. And, of course, I get it. Trump at times doesn't help himself. I think it, at times, as compassionate as he can be, you know, when it comes to, you know, chemistry with some people in terms of getting them on his side and building alliances, he could definitely learn something, because his abrasive tweets, his 3 o'clock in the morning tweets, right, that really attack somebody's character. I mean, it's one thing to say, look, I think you're an idiot if I'm in a private room, but if I'm putting it out on Twitter and it's all over the place, maligning somebody's character who is guilty of serving the country and wanting the best, he may be wrong at that moment and worthy of some adjustment, but there's ways in which to do that that help you build alliances and respect at the same time. But that's, you know, I understand that's Trump's New York state of mind and his nature. But, you know, that's one of the few critical, concerns I have of his style of management.
Yeah, and you also know as well with Trump, he doesn't go after you unless he feels like you've gone after him.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these folks now, because of social media, they've felt that they're allowed to just go out and blast their boss. And I don't think any boss ever takes that right. And
right.
If you have behind closed doors disagreements and all that, you can resign, you can try and get through to your boss and see if he'll come around to your way of thinking. You have to learn how to think like your boss in order to make your case to your boss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hope that
exactly.
He can come around. If you just yell at him back and say you're an idiot, you're going to get fired. And
right.
you kind of deserve to get fired. Let's
mm-hmm.
be honest. We can't do that in regular America. You're not going to be able to do that when you're talking to the president. Doesn't matter if that president's Trump, if it's Obama, if it's, heaven forbid again, Bernie Sanders.
Right,
like
right.
That.
But you're not going to be able
to just say, hey, mm-hmm. you're an idiot. You got to just keep doing what we've been doing.
Right.
You can't do that. And so sometimes it's been a case of the media has emboldened these people to go out there and do things that I think really hurt our republic. And instead of trying to be better about being behind closed doors, instead it's become this narcissistic situation of like, well, I've got to go blast people on Twitter now. And that's
right.
filtered down to, even kids these days. It's like, I'm just going to blast my classmate instead of just handling it. Person to person.
Exactly. Well, and then of course, then we got the leaking dynamic that takes place that just adds to mm-hmm. the morass of it all. And, we're not better as a result of that. And you've got, you have a human resource here. You've got some good people that have experience. But if they're not trained and, the rules of, engagement are not properly employed and substantiated, then you get this madness that we have right now that's on full display. And it's like, wow, I mean, even the president's job is much more difficult. We the people, we're paying for this mess, and, it just keeps on going. But anyway, William, we've got a couple of minutes left here, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk, about what's going on in Syria as well.
Well, you're having Turkey right now trying to really enforce its will. It's fighting now in Idlib, and it wants to invoke the NATO charter and saying that it's at risk because now it's invaded Syria and it's getting in, starting to fight Russian forces and much better Syrian opposition. And I can tell you that Turkey has been trying to invoke Article 5 since.
Mm-hmm.
And Article 5, just to explain for people, Article 5 is the one that says an attack on one nation is an attack upon all nations of NATO, so we need to mobilize in order to prevent further damage to the NATO alliance. But the thing is that the sovereign territory of Turkey, of course, has never been at issue here with the Syrian civil war. But from the beginning, they were trying to invoke Article 5 because they were like, well, a few bombs went over into Turkish territory, so we need to invoke this.
Mm-hmm.
It's been about Erdogan's play to try and get more pieces of Turkey or of Syria.
Syria, exactly.
And he's just not going to get any support from NATO. We've been very firm on that. The other NATO countries have been firm that you're not going to have us go into your war of adventure here.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's an interesting strategy by Erdogan. If you can get other people involved to do your bidding, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, hey, why not? The United Nations has, they've kind of been ready, with their lips sticking out, ready to be gaffed and drawn into things like this. But, I think wisdom is reigning, for a change there. So that's a positive sign. William Ogburn, strategic communications public diplomacy expert with a highly successful track record, is both the director and strategist for U.S. government entities like the U.S. House of Representatives, the Departments of Defense and State. William, as always, appreciate the time. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Maybe not today.